great pleasure to invite Ronnie. Ronnie, please come on in and share.
I am Ronnie. I'm a compulsive overeater. Just a little note, I may have to hydrate here and there. Hello, everyone. I'm so grateful to be here and to be able to do this today. This is the most important thing I think I can do to try to help the next compulsive overeater still suffering. I've been around and in OA for roughly 36 years, more in than out. I guess a good place to probably start is to tell you kind of a little bit about where I am right now. Well, maybe I'll start a little bit with I have gained and lost a lot of weight. I've been very overweight and I've also been very thin. I've been probably anywhere from 15, 20 pounds overweight to hundreds of pounds overweight, and I never thought I would get to that level. Right now I'm somewhere in between. I've relapsed and for periods of time and been abstinent now for 19 years and 10 months. And I didn't know that that was possible. Thank you. I hoped I could do this a day at a time. It's really still a day at a time. I often wake up pretty early. So, someone around New Jersey, where I'm from, used to say whoever wakes up earliest is abstinent longer that day, because we really just have that one day at a time. And I just really need to be focused on that is what I need to do each day is just to maintain that abstinence, because without that, I don't know, everything else seems to be more difficult to deal with. Right now, my mom kind of has been a little sick. She's going through cancer and having some memory issues and is on palliative care. And in the past, that would have been a lot to deal with. But because I have OA, it really helps a lot. I'm fortunate I have siblings and nieces and nephews, and I just that helps a lot. I'm not sure I really would be here if it weren't for OA, because I have health issues on and off, and I've really been challenged with things that are difficult. Like I've had my pulse going back and forth from 89 to 190, and had been jumped back, to get a regular pulse, and I've had pulmonary embolisms, and I've had some scary things happen. I'm still here. Because I was very overweight, I couldn't move around and function the way I needed to function. I couldn't get into meetings and move around. Now I can do all that. And, I couldn't fit into a car comfortably. Now I can go anywhere I want to go, fit into any kind of car I want to fit into. I used to have to fit and do a seatbelt extender. I used to have to decline rides. When I went back to my OA meeting, there was one in a hospital before this whole COVID thing, 19 years and change. I had to pick meetings sometimes and just try not to go to ones that had a far walk, because I went to one in a hospital. I literally had to go into the parking garage, walk about 20 steps and stop. And I'd be panting and just wait. And then catch my breath and walk further and then stop and hold on to the railing. And it took everything I had to say, I just need this recovery and I need this meeting right now and get into that meeting. And it was just such a super meeting and it helped with this abstinence. And here I am, and it's because of this program that I'm still here. And I just, without this, I don't think I'd be living, and I'm 62 years old. Well, I'm not 62. My birthday is at the end of this month. My father had not taken care of himself and passed away at 52. And I was afraid. My problem was a little different. He ate too much. He probably drank too much. He smoked. He had problems with his heart, and that didn't help him. I ate too much. This is my thing. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I thought it was going to take me down. And the day he died, I literally had a list in my
Did
pocket.
you call him
Oh,
Martin?
was that 15 minutes? No? Okay. I heard something. Okay. I was like, wow, that went
That
by
was
quick.
just 5 minutes, Ronnie.
Okay. Thank God. I'm like, that was quick. So I had this list of OA meetings, CODA meetings, because I'd researched this all back when we didn't have an internet, and Al-Anon ACOA meetings. And he passed away. And I thought that alcohol was more than the food and the other issues he had, and the smoking, which was pretty bad for him, in my opinion. And literally ripped up the list and said, well, I don't need this now. And said, well, that was pretty silly because now you're going to have to compile it because you're going to end up in the OA meetings later that day that he passed. And knew I would end up here because I knew about OA and I knew about Al-Anon and OA, AO, ACOA and all these programs because it was ingrained in my head. I found out about them through my uncle, who became sober at like when I was 4 or 5 years old. And it was around me my whole life growing up. I knew the Serenity Prayer. I saw his recovery. I saw the change in him. I saw it could work. I saw people trying to help my dad. I felt like I'm going back into the past now, as you hear. I kind of felt as I was growing up, I had a problem with food, but I wasn't sure what it was. I felt myself using food, I think a lot, as you can probably hear. So I felt myself kind of maybe having issues with using food, and it was making me feel better to deal with whatever was going on with my life. And that I was always feeling uncomfortable with my weight. And people were noticing that maybe I was a little bit heavier, but I wasn't much. And I felt uncomfortable. And I was lucky because I had some people that noticed it and then other people didn't. And I would probably be a little heavier and then I would grow 4 inches or something and I'd lean out, right? And then I'd get a little chubbier for a while and then I'd lean out again and be thinner. And I had to focus on it because kids are not always nice, right? And they notice it and they'd say things. And I'd have a little group that would be behind me and a little group that would be mean. And I took it to heart. And my mom wasn't real thin and wasn't real heavy. And she said to me, I understood, stand, and tried to talk to me and said, you're beautiful. You're not heavy. They're busting your chops. Don't let it get you down. And I thought, she's my mom. Of course, she's going to say that to me. And I don't know, kids are kids. I thought what I thought, and it just really became an issue for me. I had a cheerleader girl in the locker next to me in high school saying to me, you're beautiful. I don't know why you seem to be having an issue. First, she asked me if she could talk to me. She noticed a problem. And I said, yes, go ahead. And we talked about this. And she said, you're like 10 pounds heavier than me if you're that. And you seem to have an issue. And she's like, I don't want you to think this. People are ridiculous. Stop this. And she just was so supportive all the time. And I thought, this girl's behind me. And I had people standing up for me. And I had my brother standing up for me. And I just like, I was lucky because not everyone's so fortunate that has people looking out for them. And when I was in high school, I had a kid. I was in a psychology class, like when I was ju a junior in high school. And the kid in front of me talked to me about the OA program. He was in OA in high school at 17, told me about the Brown Book, told me he was going to meetings. And I went, oh. Wow, they have that for food too? Because that I didn't know. And he told me where to go to meetings. He told me what to do. And I was like, okay, I knew about AA, but I didn't know about OA. So that put the seed in my head, and I never forgot it, but I didn't go. And then I said, I'm gonna go. One day I'm gonna go. And then when my father passed, I had done that research that I told you about and had the list. And I went within six months, roughly. First, I went to CODA because why go to your main addiction? I'll go to the other one, right? And I went to the ACOA, and that all helped. But within that, like, few months from that, maybe 6 months even from that, I don't know, I went to the OA, and I just felt when I went to OA meetings like, oh, thank God I'm here. I'm home. You know, the other all places are good, but I need OA. This is my place. I felt at home. I felt this is the answer for me because I've tried every other thing with food. I've tried the cabbage soup diet. I've tried the Scarsdale diet. I've tried the AIDS little candies, which were supposed to be appetite suppressants that I ate as candies and ended up sick. I've tried all the food that you get with pro. I didn't try some of them, but Weight Watchers was a big one, not to name names, which I just did. And I would eat the food compulsively, go to the store, eat it compulsively. And I would do good for a while when they had the program that you just eat very specifically. They would give you a plan, and then I'd go off. They like said, oh, when you get down to goal, you can be a speaker, you know? And I'd go off, never a lifetime member, because I needed this when I ended up in OA. And I got a sponsor. First, the people were older, you know, because I did it at 26, you know, and I figured, okay, I'll go in. Hopefully, I'll figure, you know, out what I need to do. They'll give me a food plan, right? They don't give you a food plan, right? We all know. And, but like, I went to these no-nonsense meetings, which told, like, we kind of went over the tools, we went over the steps. I went to big book meetings. I got a good rounding of the program, and I couldn't get abstinence at first. It was like 1990, and people were like my mom's age. There were not a lot of young people. I ran into a couple of younger people, and I came back like probably like went to meetings, felt good, but just didn't truly get the abstinence until about 5 years later. And I came back and said, I really have to commit to this and do this because if I don't do this, I don't know what's going to happen. And I walked into a meeting. I was looking for a meeting, couldn't find one that was open for some reason. Wasn't calling the people to confirm that they were going, that they were still open. And there were a couple on the meeting list that weren't current. And I went to a meeting and it was small and it was June 4th. I was wearing dark sleeves, long pants, hot as hell. Because I didn't want to show any skin. Probably was, I don't know, 100 and change overweight. And there were two people in me. And I was like, oh, thank God someone's here. And got a sponsor, but wanted to run. And I was like, well, there can't be enough people here to have a meeting. So we're going to go. And they said, no, we're going to have a meeting, the three of us. And I thought they were glowing and beautiful, and I wanted what they had. And that was history, you know, because from there, this all started. And I was around for a while. And I think that's higher power working in my life because I needed that meeting. And I had a connection to this program that's still here today, have connections with people that are still here today. I'm fortunate I'm in an area that the inner group was very, very strong and became very involved with, in my inner group. Ended up being the chair here for a while. That was quite a while ago. Was in my region doing service for a while. Worked through a lot of physical things. Some of you know I've had back surgery. I've had another back surgery. I've had a knee replacement. I've had the AFib thing happen and had the pulse going back and forth, all this abstinently, rehab a month, you know, twice abstinently, worked around the food, had people bringing me meals and, you know, helping me abstinent, keep me abstinent. Telling people in these places what I need to eat, not easy. Getting salad and, sorry to mention food things, just to make sure that I could get what I need. And that's not always easy, but it can be done. You know, I just have to be clear. I'm sugar, wheat, and flour
Totally.
free. Oh, I see. Thank you very much. And today, that's the most important thing. I go to functions. I can get what I need. I can stand up for what I need. I can do it nicely. I treat others healthy. I don't go to holidays and binge eat like everyone else binge eats. I don't have to wear stretchy pants because, you know, I need my pants to expand. It's not an eating frenzy. I'm so glad for that. I'm not at the store the day after a holiday picking up stuff that's on sale. I mean, all these things I did. I'm not hiding food. My car is in a throwout zone for food, you know. It's not the primary thing that I'm thinking about. I kind of have body dysmorphia still. I think I don't know how much space I take up. I work on that every day. I don't know if I'll ever get over that, but I'm better. You know, it's something that took a lifetime probably to create, and the food addiction doesn't help, and the change in body size doesn't help, and relapses don't help. But a day at a time, I hope I can continue to be abstinent, especially through things that are tough. It just staying connected, working the steps, knowing the traditions, and using the traditions and the stools, the tools, the traditions, the steps in my life, taking responsibility for my actions, doing things better. Knowing that life isn't always easy, making lemons out of lemonade out of lemons, you know, just not expecting things to be perfect, you know, not expecting myself to be perfect, not giving up when things, and I didn't ever give up. I think, you know, knowing that I have character traits that can be troublesome sometimes, and laughing at myself when I see myself kind of doing something silly but stopping the behavior. You know, like I can be really, really persistent and just follow things, and I could fall over trying to do something I shouldn't be doing. And now I say, like, stop, Ronnie. And I ask my higher power, like, help me stop. If I can't stop, and you know, let me be able to stop myself before you bring me down to my knees, because I should be able to stop myself. If I'm feeling really bad, let me not be in denial that I'm not well, like my body is not feeling good, before I pass out, because this is how persistent I can be. And how much in denial do I need to be that I am not feeling well, that I have to pass out for you to show me that I'm sick? I mean, that's how stubborn I am. And that's how compulsive I can be. And that's where the food could take me to if I'm not careful. And the knowledge of that today will keep me sane and sober with food today. And I'm just so grateful for that knowledge, because if I didn't know that, I'd be in trouble today. And food is not going to fix anything. Food is the problem. It's a symptom of the problem in my life. And if I'm not aware of that, I can go back there in a second. And I look myself squarely in the face and just ask every day to be able to help the next compulsive overeater that's still suffering. And if I say I'm going to speak here, come hell of high water, you're going to see me. And I'm sorry if I made anyone think I wasn't going to be here, because normally I'm on like the 320, you know, if I'm going to be around for the day, then I'm around until this is over. So I'm just so grateful that you guys are here and that you heard me. And hopefully the run around, the way I kind of formatted this, all made some sense, and that it helped one of you, because then it kind of, I don't know, is a service. I hope that's where I'm going to leave it. I hope it helps. Thank you for listening.